honoring the invitation of the Lord to be in His kingdom this day to worship. I also want to thank all the rest of the visitors so far for the teaching by George, by Kujo, and Sabas, and also by Tony. We thank and we continue to pray that the good Lord Almighty will accept our worship in His presence in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What we have to admonish ourselves this morning is the title, The First Wrong Step. The First Wrong Step. Before I start going to the sermon, there's this story I read some years back about Gaius Aulus. You know, he was a Roman some centuries back. He was actually born into a noble family. He was tutored under the Greek philosophy, and so he grew up to be one of the notable lawyers. But he was known to be one of those who was strongly against the gladiator fight. You know, we all know the gladiator fight was more like an entertainment in the Roman history, where they bring in fighters, sometimes they bring in wild animals, you know. It was a sport, it was a huge entertainment, huge industry, making very good money for the Roman government back in the days. Gaius Aulus was one person who was strongly against the gladiator fight because he felt it was inhumane, you know. People come in there to kill, see blood all over, wild animals, and so he was strongly against it. But his fellow senators, you know, back in Rome, so they say, look, this is the way of the Romans, so you just have to like it. And if you're going to be in our position, then you need to start sponsoring this game. So he went on and on until at a point in time he was given a higher position in Rome, and which of course demands him to sponsor this gladiator fight. And in one of those cases, because of his position, he had no choice but to just attend and watch the game, you know, in the Colosseum. So while he was there, his mind was not on the game. He took his sights off, and at a point in time, he opened his eyes and he saw blood gushing and killing themselves. He still could not stand it. He tried talking to his fellow senators to stop the fight, but they kept telling him, this is the way of the Romans. We can't stop this fight. This is what keeps the city going, you know. And so one of those days while he was watching the game, he tried to shift his focus from the blood, from the gruesome murder, to the courage of the men fighting, you know, trying to see fear, to see courage in the sight of fear, trying to see. And so he interpreted his own ideology into the game, you know. But while that was going on, he realized that the game gradually started becoming fun to him. At a point in time, he started funding and sponsoring the game. To the point that at a point when he walked into the Colosseum, the Romans and those who were out there to watch the game started screaming his name. You know, that got into him, and he became one of the greatest sponsors of the gladiator fight. To the point that one of the senators walked up to him and told him, yes, Gaius, now you are a Roman. He said, no, I'm not just a Roman, but I'm doing what the Romans love. So from a point of strongly criticizing a game, he became one of the greatest sponsor of the game. The first wrong step. This morning, we're going to be looking at what point. Yes, do we say that one is taking the first wrong step? We read the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. God giving the commandments to the first parents in the garden, and of course, how it turned out from a very subtle discussion to what today has affected the destiny of mankind. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. I want that passage read, please. James, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
It reads,
yes.
But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
All right, now we can see 3 to 4 steps listed here, just from a simple desire, okay, to what? To death. And in all of this, we will see at a point where one gets into a very serious issue by taking the first wrong step. No one wakes up one morning and plans to ruin his life or her life. And in all of this, people's destiny, their future, their marriages, their career are being destroyed because of the first wrong step. Someone once said, someone that leaps off the cliff doesn't just jump off the cliff, but you take the step towards where the cliff is or was before taking off. And so, in every situation in life, wherever you find yourself in life, it's always from a small step, a quiet step, and a step that feels aimless as at that point in time. And so when we look at this, the first wrong step often looks innocent. Most times, you don't even consider it that you're taking the first wrong step towards a great calamity in your life. And so it seems so seamless, so easy, and sometimes trying to blend in. Like in Genesis chapter 3, Eve's first wrong step was not eating the fruit actually, but of course we saw listening to a voice that she would not entertain. Like in the marriage class this morning, we're talking about things that sometimes influence, you know, crisis in marriages, listening to friends, social media, and all that, you know. And so sometimes just that listening to that voice, as innocent as the voice might sound, might just be the first wrong step. And now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the garden. And at a point where she was, let me use the word vulnerable, because there wasn't actually anyone around or anything to keep her busy. And so the serpent, being very crafty, took advantage of that moment. And so coming in was a simple conversation. Not coming in to show the strength or the might immediately, but a very simple conversation. And it started with a question. And you know, of course, the human nature is always like very curious. And curiosity is always going to address the questions. What, how, where, why? Until you want to delve into that. And that led into the conversation. And so she didn't just run from the conversation, but she did not shut it down. She stood still and listened. And so we all knew how that went on. From the simple conversation to looking at the fruit, picking up the fruit, eating the fruit, and what became the result? Death. Like we read in James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And so the first wrong step is always small. Each person is lured and enticed by his own desire. From your desire, it leads into several other things that eventually lead to death. And so sometimes you look at life, the big situation you find yourself has always started from a step that was essentially very wrong. One message you shouldn't answer, like we said earlier, one voice you shouldn't have listened to, one website perhaps that you shouldn't have visited, like we talked about social media influencing decision, one lie that you justified, one compromise that you excused, one boundary that you relaxed. And at the end of all of this, it leads into a very chaotic state that you would not have imagined. I said the first wrong step is always easier to stop than the last one. For example, Eve listened. She looked. After she looked, she desired. She desired, she took. She took, she ate. Now we see 1, 2, 3, 4 steps. And then of course the fifth one, death, came in. But death would not have come in if she did not eat. She would not have eaten if she had not taken. She would not have taken if she had not desired. And of course she would not have desired if she had not looked. She would not have looked in the first place if she had not got herself involved in the conversation. And so what is most important here is that every step that you take, the next step becomes much harder than the first step, which is always much easier. And so that's the reason why the scripture warns that give no opportunity to the devil. You know, some years back I was in a group and there was this very strong conversation and debate about the part of the scripture that says, be not conformed. Be not deceived, for God does. God is not what? Evil communication corrupts good manners. And so there was this debate about the context. At what point would we say that this communication is evil? At what point would you say that your relationship, okay, or your association with anyone is evil and should have been stopped? And so there were a lot of things about it. I said, look, there is something about the word of God. Most times we want to try to define it within the context. Sometimes, again, you might also want to define it as it suits. But the word of God is best taken if taken at the face value. I'll give an instance. For every Christian who desires to follow God, Satan is not going to come in the form of showing something very contrary that you don't like in the first place. Remember, he is always very crafty. Satan will always come from the form of a known and gradually pull you off from the state of comfort into its own state. The text that we just read, Genesis chapter 1, sorry, chapter 3, from verse 1. Coming to Eve, he did not tell Eve outrightly that God is lying, no. But from the subtle question, and did God actually say so? What did God say? Now, from the conversation of the state of comfort, she was taken off. The same step again, if we go to the mount. After when Christ was baptized, when John the Baptist were told that he was taken up to the mount to fast for 40 days and 40 nights to get ready for his ministry. Christ being there, being 100% human like you and I, he was in the flesh, and of course that made him hungry. Now we knew how Satan came again in that very subtle manner. Knowing that Christ was at the peak of the human state of weakness. If you are the Son of God, just turn this bread. Turn these stones to bread. Of course, he is the Son of God, right? And of course, he can actually turn those stones to bread. But what was the point there? Was if you are the Son of God, that means creating a clause. So if Christ was not filled in the wisdom, but I said, hey, truly, I'm the Son of God and I can actually turn this to bread. Why not I turn this to bread and eat? But again, Christ used the word of God to bring that off. Because when you look at the question, it looked and it sounded so innocent, right? But remember the word, if you are. So that means that that would create doubt in Christ that was really the Son of God. That made him begin to the second question, then to the third. But of course, again, when we look at the scheme, Satan used the same word from the scriptures as a tool of his trap. And that's the one reason why, as Christian, you need to be well grounded in the Word of God. Because he told Eve, are you sure you surely die if you eat this? But because she wasn't really so deeply grounded in obedience to the Word of God, she could not actually understand the concept of the death. And so she did eat. So what is very important here is never to give the opportunity to the devil. I mean, we look at, for us as humans, God has given us all things that produce life and godliness. And so that means that for every phase of life, we have the instruction that God has given. But you know, why God has given the instruction is because God knows the reason why. I always go against the school of thought that says it is difficult for us to do, for example, for any commandment or for any law. It is difficult. It is, you know, like, let's take, for example, talking about marriage and the laws of marriage. It's very difficult to keep. But what did the Bible say? That the commandment of the Lord is not burdensome. And that's the reason why Christ actually came to see that this commandment is really not burdensome. But the issue, why sometimes there is either that is difficult, is because the flesh, to the flesh, is difficult. But to the spirit, it is not. And so for everyone who has been transformed from the mind of the flesh into the mind of the spirit, then it becomes easy for one to keep. And so that's the reason why God always wants us before the wrong step. There are always warning from God. And for everyone, it is very important to stick very strictly to what God wants us to do. Because a deviation from it definitely creates chaos. And there is no reason why one will try to compromise the Word of God. You know, again, I see a reference to the marriage when Brian George was teaching this morning. And I looked at it, actually, like, it looked like somewhat complex an institution, you know, because of man and how it has turned out to be. You know, but going back to the scripture, we know the fundamental rules of marriage. It's just very fundamental. Two laws, actually. An author once said, one law. And what is the one law? To the man, you have your law, keep it. It's unconditional. Love your wife. To the woman, she has a law. Obey, subjective, simple, unconditional, and that is it. But just with that one single law, it becomes so complex and, you know, leads to several other things. And once a step is broken, it gets to a level where it looks like, oh, this is so difficult to fix. But God has given us all of these things for it to be so easy. So God had already spoken clearly. And so the problem was not actually the lack of information, but it's actually the lack of obedience. And so this comes in very strictly before God, that all what God wants from us is simple obedience to his commandment. But it's a good news. Just as it's the first wrong step towards affecting your destiny in life, there is also the first right step towards redemption and coming back. A very typical example we have in the story of the prodigal son, who went out, lavished, spent, and was in deep crisis in his life. But he came to himself and he said, I will do this. And so the first step was realizing that what he was doing was wrong. And so repentance came. And so this is also a call. First of all, for those who are not yet in the body of Christ, many the body of Christ not actually baptized into the church. It's also a calling. Hearing the word of God, knowing that disobedience simply means not actually accepting the call. But the call is, having heard the word, you repent. Heard, believe, repent, confess Christ, and then be baptized. The baptism, the only way that one can be a member of the body of Christ is only through baptism. So what this means is that you don't join the church. You don't become an automatic member because your parents are members. Your parents are members, yes, running their own race. But for you as an individual who desire to be saved, then you have to be baptized. So that makes one a member of the body of Christ. And then again, one of the first right steps is also cutting off access. You know, there's always this flow that supplies and fuel the energy of whatever thing that happens. And so one way that you can stop that is cutting off the access. What could that access be? The choice of friends that you keep, the kind of materials that you read, the kind of movies that you watch, the kind of things that you give access to, because those things come into your mind, they inform your mind, they go deep into your subconscious and create the reality around you. And so you tend to, you know, live out life that is contrary to the word of God. Returning to prayer, to ask yourself, when last have you prayed? When last have you prayed? When last have you had a communication with God? But we mean communication essentially, we're talking about, you know, we call it bilateral communication. Most of us just want to speak. We don't want to hear from God. Alright? Hearing from God and speaking to God creates that line of communication. And so studying the Bible and praying creates that communication. It builds the spirit. The only thing that builds the spirit is the word of God. The only thing that builds the spirit is the word of God. When Brandon was talking about, we as Christians are living in two realms, the physical realms and the spiritual realm. But everything that happens in the physical realm must first of all happen in the spiritual realm. So if your spiritual realm is weak and pollutes and infiltrated, you're going to get it manifested in the physical realm. I never understood this factor some years back. But if your spiritual realm is clean and neat and directed, it's going to manifest in your physical realm. So what you see in the physical is already done. So for us as Christians is to look into the word of God and use the word of God to create a pure life in the spirit so that our physical life will remain good. And so the steps of a good man, precisely Psalm 37 verse 23, just mention it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How? Are you saying that each time I'm stepping out, that is the Lord that tells me, okay, Francis, it's time to take your right leg, it's time to take your left leg? That is not the implication. But for the word that you keep, they are God ordering your steps. So when you keep to those words without contradiction, then your ways are ordered, because definitely the will manifest out in the physical. And so in conclusion, I want us to read 1 Peter 5 verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. Very popular reading.
It reads,
yes.
Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
All right. Some other version said, be vigilant and be sober. I want to say this very fundamentally, brethren. Be vigilant and be sober means that you should always be watchful. For what? Your adversary, Satan, always the accuser, is going around seeking for whom to devour. And so every destiny is shaped by the steps that has been taken. David had it all smooth until he had it wrong by committing adultery and murder. Why? Because of the wrong step. Samson had it all smooth, even though his ways were ordered, but at a point when he went off the track, we only what happened to him. And so, for everything and for everyone that you become is because of the step that you've taken. Either good or bad, it will always manifest. And so it is very important that we always look at each step that we take, each decision, each moment that is being taken. Is it ordered by the Lord? And so, brethren, we continue to pray that in all that we do, let's be very watchful and be very vigilant. In every conversation that you get engaged in everything that you study, in everything that you watch, you ask yourself, is this actually what God wants from me? So that we don't take the wrong step that will lead us into the ways of destruction. We pray God to bless this word in our hearts and help us that as we live consciously and live with God directing our steps, that we live to fulfill His desires in our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.